What God has made clean, do not call common or unclean or unworthy or not special. It's not just Peter. Paul's letter to Timothy in chapter 4, just the first five verses, he writes, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." That causes me concern. I know, the once saved, always saved. I love that. What does it say when someone will depart from the faith? What does that mean? Does that mean stop practicing it well and fall on the wrong side? Off the rails, do we say? Lost the plot, do we say? It does say some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. Will there be people who claim themselves religious who don't follow God and follow religious forms and call themselves religious who are not following Almighty God, who has revealed himself in Scripture and said this is what matters? Paul says that the Spirit says expressly that in later times people will depart from the faith, devote themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, burnt with the iron, no more fingerprint, right? Burnt on the back of the grill, reaching in, seared. And that spot, it just doesn't ever feel the same. Not for weeks. Consciences seared. Who forbid marriage and require abstinence from food that God created, which has already happened in the history of the Christian church. Created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And look at verse 4 of chapter 4 in 1 Timothy. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. That's what you find in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Echoing by the pen of Paul, what the Holy Spirit has inspired Peter to say in the book of Acts that we're reading today. In the book of Acts, in chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed by this vision, as to what the vision he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out and asked whether Simon, who is called Peter, lodging there?" And Peter, perplexed, is like, "What?" That's what it says. And while Peter pondering the vision, while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." This is the story. This is not mythology, as my son's English teacher declares in front of the whole class, and he doesn't know how to say, "I'm sorry, you just wrote off my firmly held faith by calling it mythology. Odin never existed. Odin didn't walk around. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Our date today is about a real guy. You just wrote it off as mythology." He doesn't know how to stand up. And probably as a student, it's not his role to stand up. But is it that teacher's role to deride openly another faith? And where do you fight that fight? I mean, you're in a church and the man at the front is speaking. Do you believe what you hear? Would you attend again? Does that guy need a piece of your mind? Or you know what? I've had enough of people like that. I don't want to give him a piece of my mind. I'll just walk. How do we take a stand for faith as we understand it? Where is the discussion of the meaning of these things? Do we bottle it up inside and just walk away when we don't like what we hear? Do we pick a fight with every Tom, Dick, and Harry who's going to say something we don't agree with? It's somewhere in the middle. But here's Peter praying, seeing, confirmation from outside of his world with visitors, the Holy Spirit saying, jingle, 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 tugging your chain, there they are, go with them. He knows what he's doing before they speak. He's perplexed by what God said with the sheep. He doesn't get it. Still, why does God want me to eat unclean food? He never contradicts himself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How could this thing that I'm hearing contradict that? Do the teachings of Jesus Christ undo one jot or tittle of the law? One stroke of a T? One dot at the end of a sentence? No. How is this not conflicted with that? I do not understand. He's perplexed. Sometimes the direction of God brings perplexity. God confirms his leading through clear means of communication. God communicates clearly, and people who follow God hear clearly. You get these direct thoughts or ideas from God. Those are a little bit sort of wavy. You know, did I eat fish last night? Maybe it was that slice of cheese. What kind of dream was that? You know? But people familiar in trafficking with God and communicating with God begin to recognize the voice of God. I know my sheep and they know me. They know my voice, Jesus said. Right? Direct thoughts and ideas from God. Synchronicity or coincidence. It depends on who's looking at it. Guys show up when Peter just had a vision. And the Spirit says, "Go." There's people downstairs, go with them. And he comes down and he goes, I'm your man, let's go. And they're like, hi, you don't know us, but I'm your man, let's go. Wow. Right? In my personal devoted time, when I read the Bible that has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach, I just read in Genesis, because it's January, so I started at Genesis at the beginning of the Bible, about how Abraham sent his servant to his homeland to get a wife for Isaac. And the servant went and he sat down and he goes, well, God, here I am. So send somebody, please. I don't know what to do. Tell you what, God, I'm going to sit here, and when a girl comes, if she offers to water, not just give me a drink, but water my camels. And my son was telling me from science that he understands camels drink gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of water. They can replace their entire body water in one sitting. Their cells work differently than ours. If you get dehydrated to the point where the doctor puts you in the hospital, you're on a drip for 3 days, right? They're trying to make your skin, your fingers not pruney, right? You're on a drip. Camels, when they drink, they fill, but they drink and they drink and they drink and they drink. And so the guy said, the girl who doesn't just offer a drink, but offers to pull out the hose and fill up the trough and really, I mean, it's a well, it's not a hose, you know that. But if she does all the work for a stranger, for an animal, I'll know it's you. And that's exactly what happened. The guy, I mean, you know, Gideon put out the fleece. This guy said, God, if it's you, I can mess up, but if you do this thing, then I'll know. And he did. And he said, who's your dad? My dad is a relative of Abraham. What? That is so cool. And he doesn't even talk to the girl. He says, God, you. Nice, God. Very good. You, we got to go. Can I come to your house? Do you guys have enough straw for my camels? Good, we're coming to your house for dinner. Invites himself over. It's a good story. You should read it in Genesis and not miss it. God does these things. Synchronicity or coincidence. In addition to direct thoughts and ideas from God. Fateful circumstances. There they are. Here I am. I'm going to go. Fateful circumstances. Divine appointments. Divine appointments. Cornelius, you got an appointment. Send somebody. Peter, you got instructions. I'm going to leave you a bit bewildered for a second. Cue the visitors. Boom. Peter, that's your appointment. He goes. This is the Christian life. Are you living this crazy life? It isn't just back then. How did I get here? Preaching in Alva from L.A. I didn't say, oh, shucks, William Wallace is so cool. I want to go to Scotland. I didn't do that. I followed the Lord leading, and I didn't land here. I landed over there, and then I went over there looking, and then this place unfolded, and everyone in the room said, yes, that guy. I got offered two jobs on the same day. I thought, no, the place where God's confirming it. In this church, the membership voted and the adherent non-member attendees asked, please, we would like you to register our vote, even though our vote doesn't count because we haven't decided to be members. And that was unanimous. Everyone in the room united, together, confirming the will of God, not split and wondering, but there was one more than the other. That wasn't it. Here's Peter. He knows and he goes. This is how God communicates to people. This is my firm understanding of it. In Galatians, Paul writes to Galatia, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Peter goes.